I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Inspiration. I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. This seems like a very negative comment and a very negative statement. Why would we be making a negative comment and a negative statement like this? Well, basically, because we're human. And this is how we talk. People come up to us and say, do you know you just won a large amount of money? And the first thing you say is, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It never happens to me. I just can't believe it. And then you wonder why it never happens to you and why that itself was a farce. Now, it was not a farce. But you made it a farce by saying, I can't believe it, and it never happens to me, and you put the cause in motion for it. And that's a very silly thing. We have to be so 100% on top of ourselves, and that should be the easiest thing in the world. We're on 100, we're 200, 300, 400% on top of everybody else, you know. We know what everybody's doing. We know how they're living their lives. We know what they're thinking, what they're saying, what they're dreaming, what they desire. And you mean to say you don't really know what you think, dream, desire, and say? My goodness, I believe you do. I believe that you're just like the person who says, I can't believe it's true. It's so wonderful, I can't believe it's true. And sure enough, it disappears. It disappears. Now, parents who are wise, what is the first thing they teach to a child when a child is given a gift?
They say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, what would the child have said on its own? I know. I knew you'd give it to me. Mm-hmm. I knew it belonged to me. It's mine, you know. Of course you had to give it to me because it belongs to me. You know, it's mine. Now, that is the perfect way. That is the perfect way. It does not sound very societal, does not sound very mannerly, does not sound very, very proper for a child to say this, but that's what the child is thinking. And we teach the child to think otherwise. Oh, thank you. I don't deserve it, but oh, thank you very much. Now, give your auntie a big kiss for that. Yeah, I got to kiss her for that. I don't want it, you know. And it's a silly thing. It's a silly thing. I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. Well, we lose because we don't think it belongs to us. We have taken that childhood attitude long ago and thrown it out. We know, I mean, you know. Whenever a child says, of course, you think, flippant kid, don't you have any manners, you know? Don't you have any humility about you? And if they don't, that's wonderful. But we don't think so. We want to make them human. We want to make them believe like human beings instead of saying, I'm number one, of course I would have that. And why does a child reach for the biggest piece of cake? It doesn't need the biggest piece of cake. The biggest piece of cake is a symbol. It represents I'm number one. It represents that naturally I would get the lion's share. Naturally I would get the biggest part. You look at the CEOs of these large businesses. Here, the people working for them are earning reasonable salaries. But they, because they have taken $2 billion and moved it up into $5 billion, that they deserve to have $400 or $500 million as a salary or as a bonus. Now, you say, that's foolish. Well, no, that's just a percentage. It's a good percentage, but it's just a percentage. It's none of our business to figure out that. Now, if the next year they're still with that company and they make that company grow by double again, Are they worthy of what they have upgraded it, of a percentage of that? Surely. It was decided upon before they made the growth. But once the growth is here, oh, you get so much, oh my goodness, you know. But you deserve so much. You are working on this thing from two points of view. One, what you're taking home, and one, what you're doing for the company. Oh, you should be doing for the company first. No. If you do for yourself first, the company will benefit greatly. Do you understand that? You understand? It's simple mathematics. It's simple philosophy, psychology. It's simple, simple, simple. But our human attitude is always this false humility. And as long as this false humility is there, we're going to be in trouble. Now, people make mistakes and they say, well, the devil made me do it. That's right. Your devil yourself made you do that. But little children, they have no problems at all. If they're taught honesty by the example of their parents and that from themselves from the beginning, they'll admit to anything they did wrong. Say, yeah, I did that. Well, I didn't want that done. Oh, sorry, Mom, I won't do it again. I didn't want it done, that's why I won't do it again. I didn't want it done, that's why I won't do it again. It's not that I did something wrong. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's not that I did something wrong. It's just that Mom said she didn't want that done. Now, I apparently was ignorant of the fact that she didn't want that done, and then I did it. And my mother didn't say to me, you stupid kid, you're dumb, you're crazy, you're bad, bad, bad. Well, wow. Plant that in a kid's mind, or anybody else's mind. Plant that in their mind, and what are they going to be? Bad, bad, bad. But you just say to so many parents, I am so amused, their children want to paint designs on their walls of the house, you know, and they want to paint on the dresser, and they want to paint on it. Oh, they are just the colorfulest kids that you can imagine. And the parents say, isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. Now, you can't do that. You say, sweetheart, I have a special place for you to do your painting where we can keep them. And you do it right on these papers here, and then we can keep your paintings, and I can mark down the first painting you ever did and the next, because if you do it on the wall, we got to wash it off to make room for other paintings. So just do it on this paper now, and I can keep it forever, because everything you do is wonderful. Boom. You think the kid's going to paint on the wall anymore? Mm-hmm. And have his paintings go to waste? Lost to posterity? No way. But you see, the parent has to get over the idea that everything that a child does that is contrary to what she'd like them to do is bad. And they're doing it out of meanness. They're doing it out of hatefulness. They're doing it out of spite. And this is what they think, because that's what they would do. If they can realize that the little children are doing this because, hey, they want to draw. There's a big area to draw on. And they do it. And after you tell them, don't do it, don't is the most magical word in the language. That means do, 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 do. We have these graffiti artists who paint on walls and buildings, and if we would get a hold of these fellows and say, okay, guys, I'm going to give you assignments. I want you to paint on here and paint on there. They would soon get tired of doing somebody else's show. Mm-hmm. And they would stop doing that and pick up some other type of activity that pleased them. But remember, I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. And I lose for one reason. I lose because I don't believe in myself. And when I say I can't expect to win, it's because I don't believe in myself. When I believe in myself, when I believe that I'm just wonderful and I'm a very desirable, happy, fortunate person, that is so. That is so. These are wonderful things. It's just a matter of we've been trained improperly, and that means we should all die and bring up a new set of people who are not trained that way, but trained properly. As I've often said about the 12 test tube babies, you know, the Christ children, if we were to raise 12 little boys and little girls, raise them as divine beings, never making a mistake, always doing everything right, always having fun and enjoying themselves, being themselves, that's easy. But finding someone to oversee them while they're doing that, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't take on a task like that. And I wouldn't take on a task like that, not because I would find it difficult, but because I am not into creating that type of a master. I would like to see someone else do it, but for myself, I'm not interested in that. You say, well, that's such a wonderful gift to the world. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Many beautiful gifts to the world are doing their own thing and paying no attention to what the world thinks they should do. You're a great whiz at computers. You're a great whiz at understanding them and stuff like that. Why don't you, you know, create a program? No, I'm just having fun. Well, are you one of those guys that creates viruses? Why would I create a virus? Why would I create anything that was a disadvantage for another person? No, no. I am having a lot of fun doing just what I'm doing. But you could be a multimillionaire. You could be so wealthy because, you know, you're so talented. You've got so much genius going. And on and on and on this nosy so and so forth goes. Finally, the genius turns to the know-it-all. He said, son, I just invented the perpetual motion machine. And they're going to be producing it now. They gave me $3 billion as my share of it, and then they take it over. So I have $3 billion for just having an idea. You got another suggestion? Oh, my goodness. We don't know what's going on with people. And Bill Gates has all that money. And what does he live in? He lives in a house out in the woods on the lake. And Bill Gates has all that money and he has no privacy. Bill Gates has all that money and he cannot walk down the street without being noticed. Bill Gates has all that money and people are eager to help him be parted with it. Now, being so successful and having so many wonderful things is not all that's cut out to be. Because then you're under somebody else's finger and thumb. And is that what you want? Is that what, you want to be a movie star? Go ahead, be a movie star. And you have no personal life anymore. Yeah. Be a grand diva opera singer and sing your heart out. And have the world applaud you and the royalty of the world invite you to sing before them. And you have no private life. Wherever you go, people know who you are. And people want to become criminals. And they say they did certain things so that they'll be given a reputation. And they can say, I did that, you know. And the world will write about them and do things about them. They didn't do it. But they want the publicity. They want the world to know them. They want to be known. I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. And I lose because I'm always belittling myself. If you belittle yourself, don't expect to win. If you belittle yourself, don't expect to be on top. Now, on top means that you like yourself, and you're being yourself, and you're having fun. It doesn't mean that you have a lot of money or you don't. You can have a lot of money. But the moment you're possessed by that money, you're dead again. The moment you're possessed by your position or your reputation, you're dead. Now, the moment I was possessed by getting this person off my back and telling him that I just sold my perpetual motion machine for so many $billion, I lost. Let him think that I am just doing nothing as far as he's concerned. Let him think that, hey, that's cool. Then if he ever asks me to do something and I say no, he won't be surprised, because I just am good for nothing, you know. During the Depression years, back in the 20s and 30s, and early 40s, but 20s and 30s, many Silicon Valley men were out there. But they didn't have Silicon Valley then. That's right. Many highly educated men were out of a job, okay? And these highly educated men did what they always wanted to do. Now, they didn't go get themselves a job as a janitor or a sweeper or something to make a few bucks to live. They became bums. They became vagabonds, beachcombers. They would walk the face of the earth just having themselves a good time. They'd sleep under the trees. They call them homeless today, you know. But they didn't call themselves homeless. They were just out doing, they didn't have a job. No demands, no family. They were just out traveling the country. They jumped the rails. They'd ride underneath the boxcars. Oh, they got cut in half a couple times, you know. But a couple times. one per customer. But they were doing what they wanted to do. And they were having a good time. And they were living with other high-quality people. Those weren't nothing people that were bums there cooking out of a tin can. They had been maybe president of the bank. They had been maybe professor at the university. They had been maybe a bookkeeper or an accountant or who knows what. And they were teachers and things like that, but there were no jobs for them. There were, but none that pleased them. And so they just were vagabonds. Now, those men were really the men. They were the people who were being themselves and having fun. They got away with not cooperating with society and having a job because nobody had jobs. And they didn't go for a handout to the state. They would stop at a home and they'd knock on the door and say, "Can I cut your kindling for a dinner?" And the lady would say, "Oh, of course, yeah." And then they go their way. And you and I both know we eat far too much. And they didn't need all that food. But they liked themselves. They'd come to a river and they'd swim. They'd come to a beautiful area on the mountainside and they'd lay there at the side of the mountain and they'd meditate and look up into the trees and see how beautiful they were. I can't expect to win unless I know why I lose. And we're losing because we have our incorrect values on life. Instead of being ourselves and having fun, we're trying to tell other people how to be themselves. And the sooner we get off their back, the sooner we're going to be winners ourselves. So with that, be happy. You're wonderful people. You're all winners in my eyes and in my heart. And you're winners because I love you. I love you. I love you.